Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Last Letter by Rebecca Yarros is a contemporary military romance centered on grief, obligation, secrecy, and the fragile process of building trust after loss. The novel begins from a soldierly practice in which service members write a final message in case they do not return home. That device becomes the emotional engine of the story when Ryan, a deployed soldier, asks his closest friend Beckett Gentry to protect and support his sister Ella McKenzie and her children if the worst happens. Rather than using military service only as background, Yarros connects combat loss to civilian consequences, family instability, medical fear, survivor guilt, and the difficulty of accepting help. The book is romantic, but its purpose is broader than pairing two wounded people. It examines how love can become inseparable from duty, and how honorable intentions can still create painful deception when they are built on withheld truth. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the final letter as a plot device and moral obligation. The central device of the last letter is not simply correspondence, but a binding request made under the shadow of death. Ryan asks Beckett to go to Ella because he knows his sister is already carrying more than one person should have to bear. This gives the romance an unusual structure. Beckett does not enter Ella's life as a casual stranger, but as someone already bound to her by friendship, grief, and a promise he cannot easily explain. The letter creates urgency because it turns private sorrow into action. Beckett is not asked to mourn only in memory. He is asked to become useful to the people Ryan leaves behind. That distinction shapes the ethical tension of the novel. A promise made to the dead can be noble, but it can also reduce the living to responsibilities rather than full participants in their own choices. Yarros uses the letter to ask whether duty remains honorable when it depends on secrecy. The result is a romance in which emotional intimacy begins before physical proximity, because the characters are already connected through words, loss, and an obligation that neither can fully control. Secondly, military grief and the civilian aftermath of service. The military element in the last letter is most important in what it leaves behind. Yarros does not treat deployment and combat loss as isolated events affecting only soldiers. Ryan's death reshapes the life of Ella, her children, and Beckett, showing how military service extends into households far from the battlefield. Beckett carries survivor guilt and a deep sense that he failed both his friend and the family entrusted to him. Ella experiences grief differently. She must absorb the loss while still parenting, working, and managing crises that cannot pause for mourning. This contrast gives the novel its emotional weight. Beckett has the training and instinct to protect, but protection is not the same as partnership. Ella needs support, yet she also needs agency and honesty. The book is especially attentive to how grief can make people both more guarded and more vulnerable. It shows that loss is not resolved by a single heroic gesture. Instead, the aftermath of service requires ongoing acts of care, practical reliability, and the difficult willingness to let others witness pain without trying to control it. Thirdly, Ella's caregiving burden and the pressure of childhood illness. A major source of realism in the novel is Ella's role as a mother under extraordinary pressure. Her daughter Maisie's illness makes every emotional decision more urgent, because the family is living with uncertainty that cannot be solved through romance alone. This strand prevents the book from becoming only a story of attraction between adults. Ella's priorities are shaped by medication schedules, medical fear, financial and emotional strain, and the constant need to protect both children from instability. Her son Colt also matters because the family crisis affects siblings differently, and caregiving often means balancing unequal needs without making either child feel abandoned. Beckett's arrival is therefore complicated. This help is meaningful because Ella needs practical steadiness, but his presence also threatens the careful boundaries she has built to keep her family functioning. Yarros uses illness to raise the stakes of trust. A partner in this context cannot be merely charming or sympathetic. He must be dependable in moments that are exhausting, repetitive, and frightening. The romance gains force because love is tested through caregiving rather than through sentiment alone. Fourthly, trust, concealed identity, and the cost of protective deception. One of the novel's central conflicts comes from the gap between Beckett's intentions and the truth he withholds. He enters Ella's life because of Ryan's last request, and his connection to the letters creates an intimacy that Ella does not fully understand at first. This gives the book a morally complicated foundation. Beckett is not malicious, and his desire to protect Ella is sincere. Yet the longer he remains silent, the more his silence becomes a choice that affects her ability to consent emotionally to the relationship. Yarros uses this tension to examine a common problem in protective love, the belief that withholding painful information can spare someone additional harm. In practice, secrecy often transfers control from the person who deserves the truth to the person managing it. The novel makes trust feel fragile because it is built under conditions that are emotionally genuine but factually incomplete. That is why the eventual reckoning matters. The issue is not whether Beckett loves Ella, but whether love can survive the discovery that its beginning was shaped by a mission. Lastly, romance shaped by family, place, and irreversible stakes. The romance in The Last Letter stands apart from lighter contemporary love stories because it is embedded in family life and irreversible consequences. Ella is not presented as someone waiting to be rescued. She is already working, parenting, grieving, and making decisions before Beckett arrives. The setting around her family home and business reinforces the idea that love must fit into an existing life rather than replace it. Beckett, for his part, must learn that being capable in danger does not automatically make him capable in domestic intimacy. The relationship develops through presence, reliability, and shared vulnerability, not only through attraction. Yeroz also gives the novel unusually high emotional stakes for the genre. Pain is not decorative, and the story does not treat trauma as a temporary obstacle that disappears once the couple admits love. This makes the book divisive for some readers, but distinctive within military romance. It is interested in the price of attachment when the people involved have already lost too much. The love story becomes meaningful because it unfolds in a world where safety is never guaranteed. In conclusion, The Last Letter is best suited to readers who want contemporary romance with serious emotional stakes, especially those interested in military families, grief, caregiving, and relationships formed under pressure. It will appeal to fans of character-driven romance who are comfortable with illness, bereavement, and moral conflict as central elements rather than background complications. The practical value of the novel lies in its attention to the work of showing up, helping with children, facing medical fear, keeping promises, and learning that protection without honesty can become another form of harm. Intellectually, it offers a useful exploration of how duty, love, and consent intersect when one person holds information the other lacks. Compared with many military romances, the book stands out because its focus is less on battlefield action than on the domestic aftermath of service. The Last Letter premise gives the story a clear emotional architecture, while Ella's family situation keeps the romance grounded in daily responsibility. Yaroz also distinguishes the novel through her willingness to make grief feel consequential and not easily repaired. Readers seeking a gentle escape may find it heavy, but readers looking for an intense romance about promises, loss, and hard-won trust are likely to find it memorable. If you would like to support Rebecca Yaroz, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.